what everybody's talking about. Well, we sure hope it's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Georgiani with Jerry Usher and you. We say that each and every time we open up the mics and start this broadcast because you are the key person. Your life experience, your takes on the topics that we introduce, it makes all the difference in the world. And you're helping souls. Think about that. You're doing great ministry work by your calls and your journey in life. And today, Jerry, we're talking about the number one prayer intention. Drum roll. It's not exciting, though. Drum roll. Okay, well, drum roll anyway. Do you have a loved one who left the faith?
Mm-hmm.
We shouldn't be celebrating that, but it's the number one prayer intention, so we're not alone. At least we know that. Right?
Well, yeah, I like to say the percentage of people who know someone, love someone who has left the faith is probably 100%. So if that describes you, it could be one of your children. That is probably the most talked about group of people that people talk about. Please pray for my kids to come back to the faith. Could be a spouse. It could be a sibling. Could be a beloved neighbor or coworker. Let's have a conversation about this because, Debbie, obviously we have the new book out about loved ones who left the faith. And our goal for that is for people to come away with hope. And that's what we want for this broadcast today, too.
Yes, and I have the book in hand. The Beautiful Trustful Surrender. Amazing. This book is going to hopefully bring a sense of hope, a sense of confidence in prayer. You read these real life stories, the twists and turns, the ups and downs. This is a must have. Please think about getting this book, giving it as Christmas gifts. You can go to EWTNRC.com, Trustful Surrender. But today we want to talk about the stories of loved ones who left the faith. Please call in and share. You don't have to name names or anything like that. You know, I was sharing before the show, I have like over a half a dozen of family members who have walked away or put God on a shelf, if you will, for a while. And let's talk about it. 833-288-3986. And Jerry, I want to share something. I'm super, super excited. So many of our Take Two family members shared with me a concoction, a recipe for me. I'll have to share it with you, Jerry, mm-hmm. for me to be able to, you know, just keep my voice up and everything. It's not the best tasting, and it has a mixture of all sorts of things, but I added cranberry juice and it seems to be, I can drink it all day long and I have a voice. So wow. I want to thank the Take Two family. I'll share it with you. It's got cayenne pepper in it, Jerry, and you'll love that.
Yeah, I do. I would. Yeah. Well, you, the Take Two family, you are fantastic, and we appreciate you. We love all of you, and we want to hear from you today. Do you know someone, immediate family, maybe extended family, could be not a family member, but someone you really admire and appreciate and love, and they have, as Debbie said, kind of put God on the shelf right now, or maybe they've really rejected the faith completely. We want to have a conversation about this. Why? Because you probably are wondering, are they ever going to come back to the faith? Is God hearing my prayers, this intention that they return to the fold, into the church, and enhance their chances of eternal salvation? This is what it's all about. So if you have someone who has left the faith, please do call and share it right now. Maybe you had someone who left the faith and they've come back. Share that story because that's a story of hope and of promise to other people who are still waiting for that to happen. 833-288-EWTN. 833-288-3986.
Okay, a little side note here, because we're on YouTube and Facebook. I'm sweating profusely because of the cayenne pepper in this 1 ounce shot of this. It raises your temperature. I mean, like, really fast. I've never... Does that happen to you? Because you like cayenne pepper.
I love all kinds of hot stuff, yes.
Well, wow. I wonder if you could lose weight at the same time. This is great. This is great. Okay, thanks, you guys. It's working on my throat, but the rest of me is not doing so well. All right. Okay, I think I'm going to shelve that and go back to lemon juice and
honey.
And honey, yeah, the old-fashioned way. Okay, loved ones who left the faith, come on, fill up those phone lines. Ryan's waiting. He likes to pick up the phone and chat with you for a little bit, put you on hold. You get to listen live. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. Maybe you're one of the ones who have kind of strayed from the path and you're taking a different approach. You're exploring other religions and something of that nature. We want to hear from you. We're not going to convince you. We're not going to hit you in the head with a catechism brick. Okay. We're not going to do that. We're just going to talk. We want to learn. We want to grow. Okay. So please call in. This is important. Loved ones who left the faith. We want to hear from you. Fill up those phone lines now. Don't wait any longer. 833-288-3986. And Jerry, I have my pledge drive voice going. That's really why I had to get in shape, because we start pledge drives tomorrow.
That's right. A reminder for all of you who are listening, please, not only prayerfully, but financially support EWTN and your local Catholic station, without whom or without which there would be no Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, no Women of Grace with Jeanette Bankovic, no Call to Communion. You get the idea. But right now, today, we are looking for your calls and your insights, your wisdom. Maybe it was you who left the faith and you have come back, or maybe you haven't come back to being a Catholic yet and you want to share, you know, this is kind of why I left the Catholic faith. 833-288-3986. Know it's going to be a lively conversation, but phone lines tend to fill up fast, so be sure you get one of those last remaining open phone lines right now.
You walked away a little bit in your life.
I did, yeah. It was just a typical teenage thing. Mom took us to Mass, and the nearest church was, I think, 30 miles away, and I just was a little lazy. I wanted to sleep in the morning and watch pro basketball on TV instead of go to Mass. And so that lasted probably until my early 20s, 23, 24. And then the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, thanks be to God. And my mother bought me a rosary. And I thought, well, if she cares enough to buy me a rosary, I should care enough to learn how to pray it. And, you know, once our Blessed Mother gets a hold of you, you know, it's a good thing.
And you, those reasons, or I should say those excuses that you used as to why, you know, the 30 miles, you know, there's football on the weekends or whatever, you know, we do that. We rationalize. We say, okay, you know, God will understand. I still have God in my heart. I can pray to God at home. My home is my sanctuary. I mean, really, let's talk about it. We do it all the time. We always make those reasons, those excuses, and we justify them in some way, and we make them okay. They're acceptable. Well, and then we find somebody else who's done the same thing, and now it reinforces the position we're in. And before you know it, we're so far off the path, we can't even see how to get back. And we need others to help us along the way in a loving way. So many ways we can look at this. Let's tackle it together. That's the Take Two family always does. 833-288-3986. Now the phone lines are filling up. That's the way to do it. We'll be right back, and we'll hear your stories about loved ones who left the faith.
Well, a lot of you have experience with loved ones who have left the faith, and we are going to get to your phone calls here in just a second. I want to remind you about another program on EWTN Radio on most of these same stations. It's the Sunrise Morning Show, again tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Eastern Time on EWTN Radio. Tomorrow, Matt and Annie will be discussing the Feast of Padre Pio, and Gary Zimak will join them to talk about controlling our anger and scriptures that help to do that. Sunrise Morning Show, weekday morning, 6 a.m. here on most of these same EWTN stations.
Looking ahead, the Feast of Padre Pio is tomorrow, and we always, every year, do a broadcast especially devoted to this wonderful saint that we know and love. And so tomorrow, we're going to be talking about interesting facts about Padre Pio, maybe things you didn't know. And I just want to thank the Take Two family. When we were on that short little break, I got a couple more recipes on things to do so that I could keep my voice up for the pledge drive. So thanks, you guys. This is interesting. I'm learning a lot of new creative ways, you know. It's fascinating.
It is.
Some of them even contain alcohol. I just noticed that recipe that just came in. That's interesting. Although I've been off alcohol for a long time now, about a year. I gave up socially even having a casual alcoholic drink, just because, and I feel so much better. It's just amazing how your body just says, thank you for feeding me good stuff instead of not so good.
Right.
Not so good stuff. Anyway, so thanks, you guys. What a great family we have. I love belonging to the Take Two family.
Yeah, me too. And we love hearing from you as well. We got jam-packed phone lines. You may be in the queue waiting. We're going to work through as many of you as we can, because we know you have stories of Well, disappointment, hope, pain, hopefully rejoicing. We're going to start with Donna in Buffalo, listening on our good friends, the Station of the Cross, and she is a first-time caller to Take Two. Hi, Donna. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, Donna.
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
Sure. So what's
up?
Tell us your story.
My story is about my brother, Michael. Michael lived in Philadelphia. And he had come home to Buffalo to tell my parents that he was HIV positive. And my father's reaction was, Michael, my only prayer is that you come back to the church like I did and my sister did. Well, years passed. My brother still continued to live away from the faith, but he did get very sick. And he was in the hospital, and he was dying. My mother and I went down to Philadelphia to be with him. Before we got there, though, he had called me to tell me that if we didn't make it down to the hospital in time, it would be okay because he had asked for a priest. He had his confession heard and received communion. And he told me for the first time he wasn't alone. Well, my mother and I did get down to Philadelphia in time, and we were planning on bringing him back to Buffalo to die. We had everything set up except that the insurance company would not pay for him to come back to Buffalo. The next morning, social worker came into my brother's hospital room and said, pack him up as fast as you can. The insurance company called me. They said that they would pay for the ambulance trip back home to Buffalo. Michael arrived was in his own bedroom in his house in Buffalo with my parents. He got everything that he had asked for, everything he had asked God for, to see my children who were away on a retreat, got to eat the foods that he loved in Buffalo, everything. He got everything he wanted except for one thing before he died. He had told me that he wanted to see it snow. My brother was an avid skier. He loved the winter. He just loved to see it snow. But he got all of his prayers answered except for that one. So I thought. A few days after my brother died, I happened to be reading a Marian Chronicle book. It turned out my brother died on August 5th. Which is the feast of Our Lady of the Snows. None of my children practice their faith. They know the story of their Uncle Mike, and they were touched by it, but none of them practice their faith. But I have hope for my children that if I keep on praying, like my parents prayed for my brother, that God can do wonderful things. He can do miraculous things. And I know that my brother is watching down on my children, and he's praying for them also. So I just wanted to give that little story of hope for people whose children don't practice the faith.
Mm-hmm. Well, Donna, I don't know how you're a first-time caller. I don't know how regularly you listen to the show, but I'm going to steal a line from Debbie, and I'm going to say I'm a mess right now because this is such a beautiful, beautiful story, and it just shows the tenderness of God. How he just will not spare any good thing to those who turn to him at any point in their lives, no matter what the circumstances are. This is an absolutely beautiful story, and one that only God could create. We always say, you know, Hollywood couldn't write scripts like this. And Debbie, this is an absolutely phenomenal story, and I know, Donna, that the fruits of this are going to continue to unfold in your lives, your siblings, the rest of your family. There's mm-hmm. no doubt, like you said, Michael is very possibly looking down on all of this and praying for all of you. So it's just beautiful to me.
It's an incredible story. Donna, thank you for sharing it with us. I hope you continue to share it with others. You said that your children don't practice the faith, but you're not going to lose hope because you know of the story of your brother. And, you know, it's interesting. I love that about you, Donna. This first time you've ever called here, but I just love that about your soul, that you're never going to lose hope. And that's so important. I mean, that's Saint Monica. She never lost hope. And she saw her husband convert. She saw her mother-in-law convert, and of course, Augustine, her son, St. Augustine, the great St. Augustine. And, you know, the interesting thing about it is that her mother-in-law and her husband admired her faith all along, and the fact that she would never lose hope. She would beg and plead and cry to God, but she never lost hope. And I see and I hear that in you, Donna. And so I love that for you, and I love that for your children when they come home, because I believe in my heart of hearts they will recognize that you were the lighthouse. You kept going. You were straight. You never wavered. You had that hope, and you were that lighthouse for them. And so that's important. So thank you for being a Christian witness.
Well, thank you for listening to the story, and God bless both of you. I love your show.
Oh, thank you, Donna. Love back to you and your entire family. Appreciate you getting this program started on such a beautiful note today, talking about loved ones who left the faith. 833-288-3986. Your story could be like Donna's, a beautiful ending. It could be still one you're waiting for the unfolding of it to happen. Maybe your loved one passed away without you visibly seeing them come back into the church. Perhaps it was a spiritual reality for them. We're going to go to Catherine next in Denville, New Jersey, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Catherine. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi, Catherine.
Thank you. Hi, Jerry. Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Great.
How are you doing?
How are you? I know Denville very well, Catherine.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, I'm from West directly. Caldwell, originally.
Oh, my gosh, yes, okay. I grew up in Parsippany, so...
Right next door, yep.
We moved
Love
away.
It.
Yes, we moved away, but we're just back recently, about a year now, back in Morris County, so...
Yes.
So, anyway, I, like Donna, have some children. Three grown men, they're men now, they're all in their 30s, that have not been practicing. They've left the church. They've probably been gone since their early 20s. They all went away to college. Probably my biggest mistake was to let them all go far away. I know Dr. Grundy's thing. He thinks, you know, going away to college, sometimes that's what does it, you know. But they're educated. I got a doctor, I got a pilot, and I got a architect, and they're just doing their own thing. I mean, they still believe in God. I know they do. They're good. They're good boys. They really are. But they're part of the nuns, non-affiliated. So I pray for them every day. I include them in my rosary. I've stopped engaging them because it was getting me nowhere. I just now pray maybe for somebody to come into their lives, other than their mother or their father. That will remind them of what a precious thing is that they left, you know? All
right.
I can do.
Right. Well, Catherine, I can totally relate. I think you might be in the car a bit, so I'm having a little bit of a difficulty in hearing you. But I totally can relate to your story. I have two sons that walked away, or have temporarily left the Catholic faith. They were raised in the church, you know, sacraments all the way, you know. Through confirmation, and that brings me great peace, because I know that they're marked for Christ, they're marked for God. And I go back to Saint Monica. You know, Saint Monica used to fast, she used to cry, she used to beg God, and tons of tears. Okay, she prayed over her son. And a bishop one time consoled her and said, "God's time will come." He said, "Go now. It's not possible that the son of so many tears should perish." And that's why Monica was the mother who never gave up. And I believe that for all of us as moms, you know, and I agree with you, pray to their guardian angel to put people into their view that can help them and gently usher them back into the church. I think it's really important that we continue to do our part of praying, but maybe it's time to possibly go silent, if you will. You know, sometimes too much, you know, if we talk too much about it or debate or argue or fight or anything of that nature, we don't know if we're actually, you know, delaying their reentry into the faith. So I'm right with you, Catherine, and I'll pray for your boys if you'll pray for my boys.
Absolutely. Will do. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Catherine. Have much hope, because, as we say, it should go without saying, nobody more than God wants all of us. I mean, the Bible says God wills that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, and if that is God's will, then we can certainly, through our prayers and our tears, like you said, Debbie, and our offerings and so forth, we can persuade God to be merciful to us, first of all, and to those that we love. So thank you again, Catherine, for calling in New Jersey. We appreciate that.
Can I just say something real quickly? Because Catherine brought up how successful her sons are at being a doctor, a pilot, an architect. And that is true. Very successful. My sons as well. I just want to say, you know, sometimes people think when you leave the faith or you temporarily step away from the faith that things are going to go really wrong, right? You're not going to succeed. You're not. That's just not true. You know, God wants us to be blessed. Now, just think about if people who are already successful in the world, if they were to revisit the faith and embrace that, just think of how many more graces and blessings could potentially flow. Okay, so you have to look at it like that. It builds. It's not like, oh, if you leave the faith, everything's going to go wrong. That's just not true. There's a lot of successful atheists out there.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, and I'm so happy that they have done so very, very well. And I have no doubt that the seeds Catherine and her husband planted in these boys, these now they're men, in their young lives, those seeds are still there and they're being watered by the Holy Spirit in one way or another. We could be assured of that. Catherine, thank you again. David, Pam, let's see, we've got others on the phone being screened by Ryan right now. But I want to go to social media, Debbie, if you don't mind, for just a minute here. We are streaming the video on YouTube of the program, so hello to all of you watching there. Kate says, my entire family left the church 35 years ago. My great-grandma refused to leave. She died Catholic 30 years ago when I was 9. I am the first of my family returning to the faith, and I believe the power of her prayer. I joined RCIA today. So there you go. That's beautiful. Way to go, Kate. You'll be in our prayers.
That is amazing. I love it. Any other social media?
Yeah, Janie says, I have two adult children who have left the faith, and one daughter, also an adult now, that is still Catholic but doesn't practice it. Your Guadalupe Radio Network has helped me over the years. What my part as a parent of children that are out of the home is. Thank you for all that y'all do, teaching us and informing us. So there's a shout out to Guadalupe Radio Network.
Yes, amazing. You know, another thing I just want to say about catechesis, a strong foundation formation in the faith. You know, let's face it, there's a lot of, I call it lame catechesis out there for many years. And, you know, I'm not saying that that's completely to blame, but it's out there. So sometimes people need to get re-catechized, start from the very beginning. I always recommend people to go through RCIA or some form of it, to understand, what really we believe as Catholics, so that you can authentically be 100% Catholic, not just Catholic in name only. There's a big difference, huge difference. And
yeah,
so
absolutely.
I think it's important to be fully formed, continue, you know,
potentially an eternal difference. Yeah.
Yeah.
A quick email here, and then we will get back to your calls shortly. Bonnie, I'm going to read your email today, Bonnie. I promised the other day that I would read the email she sent, and it just slipped my mind when we came back from a break. So I'm going to get this one in before I forget, Bonnie. She says, I walked away from a six-figure job 14 years ago because in my management position, I had to work every other weekend. I was tired of missing Mass on my weekends to work. I know it was the Blessed Mother pulling me and my guardian angel pushing me closer to Jesus when I left that job. I was so unhappy, and now my life is miles and miles closer to Jesus and the gates of heaven. The other path would have just gotten me closer to hell. Thank you, Blessed Mother and my guardian angel. That's from Bonnie in Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
I love that.
How's that?
I
That's
love
great.
It. Yep. Yeah. We're going to talk more tomorrow, too, about Padre Pio, and he talks about pray, hope, and don't worry. We'll talk about that as well as helping us to keep that confidence and bringing our loved ones home. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
The number one prayer intention that we hear on Catholic Radio is, God, please bring my children, my family members, my spouse back to the faith. And that's what we're talking about today. Do you have a loved one or loved ones who have left the faith? Share with us where they are on that journey right now. Maybe they have come back. Maybe they have yet to come back. But there is hope. There is hope all the time. And we want to emphasize that here on the program and invite you to call 833-288-3986. And this basically, this topic was formed the basis for the brand new book that Debbie and I have out called Trustful Surrender, Stories of Grace Amidst Crisis. And it's 11 stories of loved ones who have left the faith written by the loved ones, those of the, they're the ones who are writing the stories about their loved ones who left the faith. And if you're watching on video, you can see Debbie holding up the book there. And this is, it's one of those important books because there is, Debbie, there is so much hope in that. Oh, that's what we wanted to convey, is not just, you know, just sort of throw some stories out there, but give people a reason to hope for their loved ones who have left the faith.
Mm-hmm. People, used to ask me all the time when I was in religious education. They would say, "Well, you know, Debbie, if you can have a great life here on earth and you really don't quote unquote need God, everything's going your way. What's the purpose? What's the reason?" And you know, I think of it like this. You know, when we die and when we meet Jesus, do you really want to reach out your hand and say, "Hello, my name is, and your name is"? I mean, really think about it. Don't you want it to just be a seamless transition where Jesus welcomes you and has known you all along and you've developed that relationship? I mean, that's how I look at it. I don't want to introduce myself. Do you ever think of that, Jerry? I mean, I would think not only incredibly embarrassing, you know, where do you go from there? You know, don't you want to build the relationship now?
Yeah. Well, if it's going to go on for all eternity, it may as well begin now. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And so for those who are interested in getting a copy for yourself and a copy to give to a friend, it's Trustful Surrender. You will find it on EWTNRC.com. That's the EWTN Religious Catalog. Please do buy a copy of that. Buy several. Buy a box full, because we all know a lot of people with loved ones who have left the faith, and the book is very reasonably priced. It's a quick read. It's an easy read, but it will move your heart. We promise you that.
It will make a great stocking stuffer. I'm giving it as Christmas gifts this year. So if my friends are listening right now, that's what you're getting for Christmas.
Spoil the surprise.
But that's what we wanted it. We wanted people to pass it on and to share it so that it builds hope in prayer. And you can find yourself in these stories. These are real life stories, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay, Pam is up next in Idaho, and she's listening by Alexa and is a first time caller. You get our virtual bell. Hi, Pam. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Go right ahead.
Okay, so my story is that I have two children, one daughter and a son, and my son is married, and my daughter has completely left the faith. She is gay, and my son and my daughter-in-law, who were both raised Catholic, didn't get married in the church. They have two children. They aren't baptized, and I'm sorry.
No, it really hurts you. We can hear it.
They both have, my daughter-in-law and son have been laid off and have moved back in with me with their two children. So anyway, I just pray for them that they'll all come back and my grandkids will get baptized. And my grandson went to Mass with me last Sunday. He asked to go. He's 6. And my granddaughter's 5. So, you know, that's my prayer, that they'll just all come back and that my grandchildren will be raised Catholic as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, we join you in that prayer, Pam, and I put your whole family in the book just to let you know. We keep a book and we pray round the clock. I just have to say this. I think you have a golden opportunity. They're back in your home. Okay? This is just a suggestion. Okay? I would fill your home.
Okay.
As a sanctuary, I would have Christian music playing in the background. I would have a holy water font at the front door. I would live out your faith, Pam, like you have won the spiritual lottery. Okay, Pam, if I handed you a $10 million check, yeah, if I handed you a $10 million check, you'd run around, right? You'd run around the house and say, "Look, here's this check I got." That's what I want you to do, and that's all you have to do is live it. Let God radiate through you, Pam, and whatever God wants to drip onto His other children, His children. Remember, Jerry said it. Jesus, God wants your children back more than you do. Okay, so let it come through you. Let it radiate through you. And I believe it doesn't even take words. It just has to take you just beaming with that spiritual lottery joy.
Oh, thank you. And I'd like to add one more thing. My husband passed away in 2019. And so he wasn't Catholic. So that has had a huge impact on all of us as well. So.
Mm-hmm. And his name, Pam, if you want to give us his first name.
His name is Don.
I'm sorry, one more time?
Don?
Don.
Don.
D-O-N.
Yeah, D-O-N.
Okay. Got it. I'm so sorry for that loss. And your guys are still grieving. You're still grieving 2019. So take that into consideration, too. And I think you have an awesome opportunity right now with everybody under your roof.
Thank you so much.
Pam, I'll just offer a quick word regarding your daughter, if I may. Debbie is right. You've got this golden opportunity. Like Debbie said, just live your faith. You don't have to be in anybody's face about it. I mean, you're in close proximity, but they'll just see you living your faith, and it will have an impact on them. But obviously, a same-sex attraction is no reason to leave the church. However, you ask the church about that, and you hear one thing. The catechism is very, very clear, pastorally speaking. The church absolutely has a spot in the pew for someone with the same-sex attraction. However, if you ask the culture, you get a completely different message. And so we'll join you in praying, because there are people of goodwill in all walks of life, and we're going to ask God to bring the right people into your daughter's life. And I just have this this inspiration to ask you to start praying now, start thanking God now for what He's going to do for you. Okay, God loves that, because that shows a great confidence in Him. Say, God, here are the issues I'm praying for and that are paining my heart, but I'm thanking You and I'm praising You right now for what You are going to do in the lives of my children, my daughter-in-law, and so forth. And then just see what God does. He wants us to have that kind of trust in Him.
Oh, thank you so very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for calling, Pam. A lot of prayers that Take-Two family around the world is already lifting you and your loved ones up in prayer.
Oh, yes, they are. We hope you can feel the prayers, Pam. Keep us posted, okay?
I will. Thanks again.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We're going to Nacogdoches, Texas. Ken is waiting on the line. Hi, Ken. Welcome.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
By the way, for those who are concerned about if they can keep the people in Houston with the flooding there because of the hurricane in their prayers, much mm-hmm. appreciated. But I'm out and I'm safe and out of the way.
Okay.
Regarding today's subject, I just wanted to share a little thing of my own kind of thing that kind of emulates what St. Monica was told to don't pester Augustine or Augustine, but pester God, and God can handle it. For years, and since my childhood, I don't think I'd ever recalled anything of seeing my father actually make the Holy Communion. And one time, this was a few years ago, but I took up in my prayer daily, because I really wanted to see that for that to happen. And my father was never really overtly, he didn't leave the church, but he was never overtly Catholic, if you know what I mean. He just never was really vocal about it.
Sure.
And one time before, it was during Advent, that we were at Mass together, And all of a sudden, when it came time for going up for communion, my dad got up, and he walked up there before me, and he was right before me where I actually witnessed it. So I want to affirm what you said, Debbie. You said about keep persisting with God, because God can move mountains in ways that you never maybe would have dreamed of.
Yeah, Ken, I love you repeating there what Debbie said, and I don't know that I was familiar with Monica being told that, you know, pray. She said, you know, talk more to God about Augustine than to Augustine about God. And it just kind of reminds me of, in prayer, a lot of times when I'm praying for an intention such as this, and it's a beautiful thing when we're praying that we have the intention first and foremost in our minds, and we're thinking of that person that we're praying for, or that issue that we're praying for. But then I sometimes stop and say, you know what, I should really be focusing my heart's gaze upon God. He knows what the intention is. He knows what the desires of my heart are. And so, Debbie, what I do is I just really, I like to get a crucifix in front of me and just gaze upon that, because mm-hmm. God knows what the intentions are. If we are just focused on Him, laser focused on Him, right. I think that is the right thing to do.
Yeah, I'm glad Ken shared that with us, you know, about his father. And it's so true. And that is our part. Let's do our part. That's, you know, let's face it, folks. You know, when you know what you know to be true, you want to spread that to the ones you love, right? You want to make them at the same level, you know, that you're at. The same realization of everything, the same, you know, gift of faith, everything. You want it at the same level. Oh, I've got this. I've got it. Now I want Jerry to have it. And I want Sally to have it. And I want Susie to have it. You know, it goes on and on. It's understandable. The love you have, you want to share a good thing. Okay. But it may not be for us to do it. You know, sometimes it is. Sometimes we are called to speak at just the right time. Scripture tells us that. You know, give a reason, you know, for the hope that's within you. Okay, so maybe we're called to do that. Maybe we're called to consistently pray, beg, and fast. And you know what? I say that's our job. And if we're faithful, God is always faithful, and good things will happen either here or in eternity. Right, Jerry?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I would say the latter is an absolute necessity, the praying and the fasting. And like you said, if God puts it on our hearts to say something, sometimes we want to say things to our loved ones, and maybe, like you said, maybe it's not the right time, maybe it's not the right place, maybe it's not the right way to do it. And some people might find that odd to say, well, why don't you talk to them about that? Well, I've had experience with loved ones where, you know, you try and talk them back into the faith, and it actually pushes them a little bit further away. So I think mm-hmm. you're right on with that, Debbie. Absolutely right on.
Well, my dad was on his deathbed, and I remember it vividly. My dad never used to ask me about religious education, and he knew I was in it for 30 years. Never asked me anything, not a single thing. And he's on his deathbed, and he says to me, hey, can you teach me about heaven? I said, Dad, you're going to wait till the very end? I said, now I'm going to have to give you a crash course. He goes, I'm ready. And I did. And I was able to, and he soaked it all in. It was the right time for him.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, we have a lot more of your calls, but social media coming in as well. And we are streaming, as we say, on YouTube video. And Dude wrote this. Dude, we got some, we're going to be praying for you. There's a lot we could say about this, but he says, I'm having doubts about Catholicism, and I'm thinking of becoming a Protestant. Any thoughts? He says, I know, but some of the teachings like purgatory is not in the Bible. And some people even say that praying the rosary is idolatry. I don't know. It's caused me to doubt a lot of things. Well, dude, we don't have time to go into that on this show, but both of the things that you mentioned, purgatory is in the Bible. Praying the rosary is not idolatry. That is very scriptural as well. I certainly encourage you to listen to Call to Communion with Dr. David Anders at 2 o'clock Eastern Time here on many of these same stations. Mm-hmm. Catholic Answers Live from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on some of these stations as well. Dude, talk to a priest. Go ahead, Debbie.
I have. Well, no, you go ahead. Talk to a priest. I love where you were going. Go ahead.
Yeah, maybe seems that you're a Catholic right now. I would say talk to your parish priest if you have a parish that you've been going to. Just get the real scoop on Catholicism before you leave a practice of the Catholic faith. Even on some of these quote unquote harder teachings, dude, because those teachings are very much available and the explanations are airtight when you really get a hold of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and my little two cents here, dude, is please, if you can look this up online, or better yet, get the book, Joan Carol Cruz's book, Eucharistic Miracles. Dude, please get the book or read some of the stories on the Eucharistic miracles, scientific research, everything from people who aren't Catholic, scientists that studied these Eucharistic miracles. That is the reason why I am Catholic, dude, because of the Eucharist. Okay, and there's no way I could personally ever walk away from the Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, please do that. You should do that because you deserve to do that and really research what is happening with our faith in the Eucharist before you walk away. That's all I would say.
Okay. Dude, you will be in our prayers. Thanks for listening and for watching the broadcast on YouTube. And Timoteo is watching on Facebook. Hi, Timoteo, our good brother in Christ. Says, I am the only one practicing the faith in my family, though I have one acquaintance who joined the church but was not long before she stopped going to Mass. Well, there's your spiritual project, Timoteo, is to pray for that individual who is no longer going to Mass, your acquaintance that you talked about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, going back to the phones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, David in Dallas, Texas, Guadalupe Radio. Look at Guadalupe Radio go. First time caller, you get the virtual bell as well. David, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I'll try to make it quick. My story basically is hardcore Catholic family, grew up Catholic. You lived under the roof. You went to Mass on Sundays, and I would think I'm a typical college student, kind of got away from going to church, and then after college, didn't go back for a while, wasn't living at home, so I didn't have to go to church, and got into the insurance business and started getting challenged about my faith, because I'm seeing people, Church of Christ, Baptist, and they'd say what I was doing wrong and this and that. So I had to start either defending my faith, and I'd actually go to their church. I remember going to the Church of Christ and thinking, wow, they sing awesome. Not that we don't sing in our Mass here in Dallas. We do. But it just wasn't as gorgeous. It wasn't so beautiful. And visiting the Baptist church and going, wow, they're so friendly. I walked in. I got greeted. I walked out. Thank you for coming. That didn't happen at Mass. So, I don't want to say I was starting to fall away, but I was kind of like challenged. And so I had to either A, go another direction, or maybe look into why we do what we do. And watching programs like EWTN, I love the Marcus Grody show, because I love to hear the Protestants, why they came our direction. So it's like, wow, okay. And getting challenged in my business, from again, just, customers out there. And I'll be honest with you, part of the reason I'd go to their churches, well, I wanted to make the sell at the end of the day. So maybe that wasn't a real good reason, but that's just being honest with y'all. And here it is many, many years later, got married, went to RCI. My wife wasn't Catholic. I went to RCI class with her once or twice, and I said to her, wow, man, I should come to all your classes. I'm learning a lot as an adult. I went to Catholic grade school, Catholic high school, but, you just went through the motions because, I had to. But so that was a real benefit. So, that guy named Dude, I'd say, go to RCI class. It helped me a lot. I didn't go to all of them with her. Had to go to confession because she said, honey, I'm real nervous. When she went through RCI, she says, will you please go to confession? I said, honey, I'm probably more nervous than you. She said, why? Because I said, I probably haven't been in like 10 or 15 years. It's been a long time. So I was scared to death. We're both standing in line, and it was a relief. I was like, oh, wow, the priest didn't chop my head off for not going for like the last 15 years. So that kind of brought me back to, of course, we get married, we have kids, and they go to Catholic school, grade school and high school. And many, many years, here it is all these years later, and I'm like going, oh, great. Now my kids don't go to Mass, and they're in their late 20s. My son just turned 30, so I don't think I'm going to get in trouble because I doubt they're listening, because if they don't go to Mass, I doubt they're listening. So I guess, you know, it concerns me, but I don't beat them up. The more I try to push, they at least they'll honor us, and they'll go to Christmas, and they'll go to Easter. And that's all I'm trying to do, is just kind of live the faith, get stronger. You know, being challenged even here at my office, you know, I have a Baptist guy that works with me, and he'd say all the things we're doing wrong. I'd say, where'd you hear this? And he'd say, in church. And I'd say, you mean to tell me y'all talk about other denominations and in your service? And he said, yeah. And I said, I can't believe that. I said, I've gone to Mass most of my life, and we never talk about other denominations. And so I started, you know, really listening more to the sermons and paying attention to, you know, like most Catholics probably can't quote the Bible, but if someone says to me, you know, well, fallen away Catholics, I like to refer to John 6, not the whole chapter, because that's a lot to read. It's not too much, really. But I'll say, read John 6, 27, if you have a problem with the communion. 27 on. Jesus lost a lot of people that day. And when dude called in Maccabees, you know, when I go to see my grandparents at the cemetery, the Catholic cemetery, right up there, there's a quote from Maccabees, you know, and it talks about praying for the dead and purgatory. So I just thought I'd throw that out real quick. And so I guess because of my business and having to defend my faith and learning so much, I'm still learning. There's so much more to go. And it's funny, as I went to a grade school called St. Monica, and y'all keep referring back to her. And I'm hoping
no
and
accident,
praying
David.
No accident.
Well, you know what? My wife would say that's true. It was meant to be. And it's a first time call in. And so that's where my wife helps with a lot of faith. But my dad was a great example. In the later years, probably the last 15, 20 years of his life, he went to daily Mass. And I'm not anywhere near close to that, but I make one once in a blue moon on a daily Mass. There's a church not too far away from my office. So it's hard. It's still a challenge. It's hard to wake up every morning and remember to pray sometimes, because it's such a stressful life. But, you know, I know and I have faith that we gave our kids a good base, and I'm sure they'll come back and start going to Mass one day, and it might just be like me when I get married and have kids and that sort of thing. So I worry, but I can't push that hard.
Right. I'll push
them away.
Yeah, we actually have a story in the book, David, Trustful Surrender, about, you know, a couple that is dating and how love, you know, and their courtship brought the gentleman back to revisit the Catholic faith. And so we're very big on that could happen. You could meet somebody that could actually, you know, gently walk you back into the family. But David, real quickly, I don't believe there's any accident that St. Monica is part of your life. Maybe call upon her on a regular basis for your children. Obviously she has an interest in you. And so that's wonderful. So you could consider her a friend. Also too, I just want to say, Rite of Christian Initiation for adults, RCIA, absolutely. We said that at the beginning of the show. People ask me all the time, when can I stop learning about the faith? When you take your last breath, that's when you stop. We have a big faith, a full toolbox of spiritual tools and the sacraments and everything that can help us get to heaven. And so it's important that we dive deep. So I agree with you, David. I think the gentleman dude who I believe emailed us, you know, please sign up for a class and get all your answers to the questions that you have. And it's a wonderful experience. So thank you, David, for sharing your testimony. I put your family in our prayer book, so we're praying for your entire family.
Yeah, Jerry. David, thanks for the call. And I just want to say a quick word about what David was talking about being challenged by non-Catholic Christians. This is actually one of the things that helped to lead me to a more solid embrace of my Catholic faith. I had some co-workers who were not Catholic, but very fervent, on fire, devout non-Catholic Christians, and went to a vibrant church and all, and they started challenging me on the rosary and things like this, and I was not at all equipped to answer their questions or anything. So I got some Catholic Answers pamphlets, those little tracts they put out. I bought Carl Keating's book, Catholicism and Fundamentalism, The Attack on Romanism by Bible Christians, and that really built the foundation for me. So I want to just say to anybody, if your faith is wavering and it's maybe you're being challenged by people who are very sincere, very well-meaning, they want the best for you, but they counter your Catholic faith. Just make sure you know what the truth is before you exit the Catholic Church. Take the time to get to know what the Church really, really teaches.
Absolutely. Well said, Jerry. Mary Jo, Karen, and Hannah, we're not going to get to you because we're running out of time. So we will revisit this topic. No, not because we want to sell the book. Okay, go ahead to EWTNRC.com and buy the book and one for your friends and your family members and stocking stuffers. But no, we will revisit this because it's the number one prayer intention. So when we do, Karen and Hannah and Mary Jo, just let Ryan know that you were on hold for this first part of the show. We cannot do a part two tomorrow because it's the feast of Padre Pio, and we love Padre Pio, and so the whole entire broadcast is dedicated to his spiritual gifts.
Looking forward to that. Again, it's Trustful Surrender, Stories of Grace Amidst Crisis. Debbie and I gathered your stories. These are stories from you, the Take Two family, of loved ones who left the faith, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You want to get a copy, and again, as Debbie said, give another one away to someone else. EWTNRC.com is where you can do that. And until tomorrow, when we honor Padre Pio, have a beautiful and blessed day.